Christ his chosen people to come and die. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. So come and die, the Master calls. Oh, come and die. Assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and die,
the Master calls.
So come and die. Power or ways overthrow. Yes, I've been.
here this day, because I do get fed every time I am, no matter who's preaching, and I love this word, and I, when I'm away and I have to listen to it online, no, that's better than nothing. I thank God I've got that, you know. But it's so good to be here, and so good to be able to praise my God and letting me know this word and just be part of it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I was just telling Sue, she cooked her last meal in Mom's house yesterday. I mean, she cooked it before that, but I signed it away yesterday, but I couldn't hardly sign my name. It's been so long, I'm nervous. But anyhow, this guy come up. He been down to Winchester. He knows my farm down there near Winchester. He said, I understand you got another farm. I said, yeah. He said, I'd like to buy that too. He said, I like Winchester, Ohio.
How about that?
And I said, well, I'd probably sell it to you. I went over here at Mom's last week or two or three weeks to help my guys clean it up. I didn't do anything. I just laid down the grass. They had me to kind of watch over. Bill's gone. Me and Bill owned it. And I wish Bill would have been around, but since he wasn't around, God kept me around. And the girls said, well, Dad, you got it all by yourself, all but Bill's children. Their halves in it, they left them half, you know. And great, great big place, nice place. Younger generation, not for me. No, I have no use for it all. Even we had a guy tending it. Guy, he wanted to buy it, but he didn't get it. I wished he'd got it. I told him, I said, he's been tending the farm for probably, would have said 30 years or longer.
Wow.
And, but he would have had to borrow the money on most of it, and so he didn't get it. This fellow come along and had the money. You know, that's what I talk.
That's right.
I had never met this fellow, him and his wife. And I understand they're worth quite a bit, probably, and owns a lot of farms or lands, but my days is over. Donald, you'll never work on that well again. Probably Don kept the well up out there, water, and but he's probably worked on it this last time. I've had to go over there. I've had to kind of Brother Moore, see over it. And I didn't even want to do that. I would go over there and just lay down in the lawn for hours watching the guys work. And I thought, Lord, been a long life, long time. But most of you wouldn't understand. Wouldn't understand farmland, you know. Big house. I helped build a house, Don. I helped build a house. You know that. Me and my father and my brother built the house. Bill laid the blocks, had a basement. Pretty big house. And my mother and dad moved in it. And but my dad's been gone quite a few years. But my mother Sue knows she probably cooked her rice and made her rice cake in that kitchen. Sue knows all about it. Her mother cooked a lot, made pies and cakes. And I would stop off to eat. A lot of times I never stayed there. Facts about it, I don't think he ever stayed a night in the house, Don. Long time. He 87 years old. Built the house. My father and mother stayed in the house. Then they moved down on my farm, Winchester, Ohio, and just rented it out. And this guy tended the land, raised a crop there. And thinking about I built the house, helped build the house, and never spent a night in it. And my mother and her mother moved back off of my farm after my dad died. They moved in my farm, my mother did, and we drove from there to church about an hour and a half drive, pretty little distance. And when my wife run me off, I'll tell this little story. First time she'd ever run me off. She got my clothes, packed my clothes, and said, "You can go." I said, "You really want me to do it?" She said, "Yeah." And, you know, I'd have to drive to church. So it's pretty little driving. And Dad was gone, and I'm taking care of Mom. Dad said, "Earl, you take care of Mom." I told her, "You know God, you know the way, and I want you to take care of Mom." Said Bill, said he don't understand like you, you know this boy, so I want you to take over. Well, big, great, great big farm, I had a great big farm, and no use for any of it. I looked at Mom's farm yesterday and it's gone. No use for it. And I had my men down there gone, clean it up. 200 and some tires, car tires, that they'd hauled in there, this guy that rented it, his son. And junk, well, I call it junk. The barn's full. I'm thinking, Lord God. And they left it for me. They said, "Bill's gone. Earl, you're the only one." I mean, I had to have the whole thing, take care of the whole thing, Ted. Big barn like your barn. And I thought, Lord, what will I do? My girls, you know, they're not cut out for that. Not cut out, and especially Elena, Ardina, and Glenn. I did get them to go over every once in a while and kind of help me see over it. I'm too old, Don. Turn me over. And a house 5 miles out of Zini, just close, right here close. And I thought, Hardin's Dad, you got to take care of it. Said, it's yours. And I'm thinking, Lord, come pretty quick. I don't need to take care of it.
Amen.
But they don't want to fool with it. And I got one boy left. Two boys gone. My baby boy is still with me. I mean, around. And they carry me food. His first wife, or his only wife, is in Tucson or somewhere. She moved away, Don, took the girls, and they moved out there, and the girls got married. Long story. And so took her out there. Then the girls gets married. One of them went overseas, married a guy. And I'm thinking, Lord, what a life. What a life. Don, when you get my age, things goes like it goes. Not much to live for. It really not. You think it's all to live for. You know, you got plenty of money. Got houses galore. You don't even know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Bunch of houses. I used to bought my first wife. We fooled with rental property. And my first wife, and I'll tell the story, because it's making history now. And so my first wife, she'd been gone about 20 years. And so I took over. Everything I had, y'all really don't understand. I mean, when you take over what I've got, property, houses, everywhere, Don, you know. And Lord have mercy. And they say, they are yours, Earl. You got to take care of them. I said, that many houses? I said, I don't need but one. And I really don't need it. I got the one house. I think, Brother Moore, by myself. I'm by myself in the one house. I lay down at night and turn my TV on. And listen at the news. I'm a newsman. Stories. I don't know one story from the other. And been a long story. Been a long drag. Then I married Sandy. And I miss that girl. Miss that girl bad. Because you by yourself. Some of you, I told Danny, I said, Danny, when you and your wife, I said, you're coming to it. Get ready. Didn't know God was going to take both of them. I said, I don't know which one of you is going to go first. But I said, you're going. I said, make preparation. Don't back off, just get ready. And Danny said, okay. And I love Danny and his wife like my own. And Danny and his wife love me. They love me and my wife. Then I lost my wife. And Lois, she wanted to help wait on me. Lois did cook, carry food. Lois was a, Danny had a good girl there. Brother Moore had a good girl.
Amen.
And facts about it, there's a lot of help lived on one of my properties 40 some years. Think about it. Brother Moore, 40 some years, moved down there in one of my properties and just stayed there, made it their home. I told them, I said, y'all just make it your own. And they moved in there. And I'll tell this little story. And I let them out of the house, Brother Moore, for $125 a month. For a new house. Full basement. I built it. I don't know whether, Don, will you help me build it or not? Don't think so. So I built this house. Danny wanted to move in it. He locked out. He just right down below me. And he wanted to move out until he moved down there. And then 40 some years, God took both of them now. They're gone. And think of it, I built that house and never lived a night in it. Never even moved in. New house, full basement, good house. I said, Danny, I'm going to make you able. I'm going to let you have it for $125 a month. And it was worth probably $500. I said, I know you can't pay much. And I just want you down here with me. Danny said, anything you want. Is his boy here? One of his boys. Raised two boys right there on that property. Raised two boys. And Danny said, boys, when they were just little fellows, whatever Earl wants, you get it for him. You help him. If you see him pull in the driveway, you meet him there at the driveway. And said, help him, give him anything you want, and if you don't, I'll whoop you. I'll wear you out. Said, you take care of Earl. And them boys raised them right there. I seen them grow up. They liked their dogs. I tell this. I had cats move in on me. I lost my dog, and I had cats. They started having kittens. And Don, I went in the cat business. And a bunch of cats. Which I love cats. Cats all right. And they take up with me. I feed them. And I fed them a lot of food. Brother Moore, I'd carry food out. Feed them cats. Them cats like to eat me out of the house and home. And I'd take them off down over the hill to get rid of some of them. They'd find their way back. I took them down there, and they'd find their way back. First thing I know, 2-3 days, I'd look, and here they are. Cat poor. And I told them the other day, my work hands, I said, boys, load those cats up and take them down over the hill. Down to my other place, I'd carry them food down there. They'd have too many cats. I mean, cats lower. And one of my renters, She has everything. You know, Don. From ducks to geese. From geese to dogs. She had everything. Great big place down there. We got quite a bit of land. And I helped build those houses. I've been around. I've been around the block, so to speak. I built the house back there that she lives in. I wanted to move in. My wife said, "No, honey. It's down. She called it down over the hill. Driveway, highway, going over the hill." She says, "I don't like that place. Good house, 4 bedrooms, full basement, everything you'd want, but never slept a night in it." And I moved to this lady. She's a fine lady. Her and her husband. And they've been in it. They're supposed to help take care of it, Brother Moore, but me and my guys, we've done it. I'd go down there. Long story. I don't want to get into that. Too much of a story.
You
gotta
hear me yet.
I know. See, they called me a real estate man. They said, "There's a real estate man." Everybody around there knew me as a real estate man. And I didn't know I was a real estate man, but somehow I became. Well, Brother Moore come to work for me, then left. Just got me acquainted with him and shown him what I wanted done, and he leaves. And here I am, started again. Lord, have mercy. How much longer, Lord? And y'all not knowing what's going on, most of you. I'm thinking, Sue said a while ago, "Well, that house is gone. You didn't need it." Purdy, my sister, she was the third in the house. She owned part of it at one time. So Purdy says, "I want to sell you all the house. Earl, I don't want the house." And we had a time with that. When you got a bunch of houses and just kin folks, y'all don't know. So much, Don. But, you know, let me say this. Don and Ted has been a lot of help to me. Oh, Lord. We have built houses to run out our years. Yeah, I'm a builder and never really built one in my life. Built houses, hundreds of houses. And never built one in my life. Oh, I'd see over it and help pay the bills. But God knows. Don, I appreciate you. You and Ted, my Lord. I'd say, Ted, you got to draw a blueprint tonight. He'd work all day. I said, he's a blueprint. I said, you're going to draw a blueprint tonight. Get ready to apply it tomorrow. We got to build another house. And Ted said, me and my wife got plans. I said, drop your plans. And Ramona, I could just see her. Almost pulled my hair. Ted's got to go in and tell her. I can't go tonight. I got to draw a print. And draw a print. He said, Earl says, tonight. And what Earl says, that makes it so. And, but I'll never forget you boys. Never forget you boys. I couldn't have done it without you. Then you all left me. Yeah, you all left me. Ain't you ashamed? Ain't you ashamed? Leave me by myself. If I could draw a print, I'd draw a print. But I went on, Don. I made it. It's something else. It's something else when you lose your best friend. And both of my girls were my best friends. And they really was. I'm not just saying that. When I go home, I had a friend. Then there come a time I didn't have a friend. Sad. Some of you don't know what it is. You better pray that you never lose your friend. Sandy said, Earl, says, you're my best friend. You're all I got. Had her dad, had her mother, had her four sisters, but I was her best friend. And I loved the girl. I took care of the girl. I want y'all to know, and Brother Morton knows it's true, that girl got anything she wanted. Don, you know that. She didn't even have to ask for it. I can just see it in her eyes. I say, Sandy, get it. Well, I don't know. Come to automobiles. I had two new cars, practically. My first wife left the one. I'll get done after a while, Don. I'm building houses now and driving cars. But I had these two cars. Sandy wanted her little, what she called a little car? Yeah. And I said, Sandy, she said, I want a new car. I want a small car. I want another Betsy. I said, Sandy, you don't need another new car. Got two out there in the driveway. They're big cars. One of them a Lincoln. You know. And at that time, they were long Lincolns. Sandy says, they're too big. Then I had that Regal. It was smaller. I said, Sandy, take either one you want. And I'll sign your title. She took the Buick, the Regal, but she didn't want the title. She said, "Brother Shores, I don't want the title. I want you to just leave it in your name. I'll just drive it." I said, "Okay, whatever you want." I'm still driving it. I bought it from my first wife. God knows it is true. I drove it 2 times. And I said, "Honey, it's yours." Well, she had a practically new car. She says, "Just park it in the garage and I'll drop my old car." She called it her old car. You know, that car sat there 1 year. Never was drove anymore. I didn't drive it. She didn't drive it. So it went. So finally, my wife, she left, went home. 20 years, but one solid year, that car, sitting in that car, that garage down, and I never even started it. I was so bad out of heart, brother Moore. When you lose your best friend, and all you got is a car, and I had my truck. I'm a truck man. Pickup truck. And so I didn't need the car. Joe Childers come to my door. He said, "Earl, go out there and start that car and drive that car. Said it's going to go to the burn." Well, it wouldn't start the battery down. Joe said, "I'll start it." I've been driving it ever since. 20 years. Brother Ted, I've got in that Buick and I drove it. They said, "Won't you get you a new car?" I said, "That's a new one." You know, I said, "That's a good car yet." I got used to it. The Lincoln is still sitting there at my house. It's almost like Sandy said, too big. Well, Brother Moore, I'm going to let you have it. I love Brother Moore and Clarice. They don't come and see me much. And Ted don't come and see me much. So I lay down by myself and get up by myself. And I don't know what to do. When you get my age, more, you don't know what to do. I really do, in a way, I want to go home. I really, truly want to go home. Homesick. Yeah. I've got more on that side than I have on this side. You say you have. That's right. I've sent more there than I've got here. Now you know what I want? I want to go home. Homesick. Never knowed what homesick was, but I'm getting homesick. Oh my, oh my. Pray for me, church. I mean it. I'm homesick. Didn't know what it was like, but I'm getting a taste of it. And I love you, Brother Moore. I love Clarice. I married you, fellas. I watch you grow up. Watch you have your children. I'm getting home for you now. I don't know how much longer I'll be with you. But I'm homesick. Houses don't mean nothing.
No.
Would you help me sing? Housing lands I do not own, but far riches to be told. Little person in this world I may be, I can't keep up with the time, but I know I'm doing mine. I claim Jesus, and that's enough for me. Help me now. Oh, I claim Jesus, first of all. He will answer when I call. Then I know I'm a soul.
It's a revelation of who I am and where I came from. An eternal being that never sinned and cannot die. So through the raging storms I know there's this anchor that always holds. It's a revelation of the changing King of the soul. Out on the troubled sea of life, my ship is sailing. And boisterous waves so dark and fearful around me roll. But through the darkness of the night, I feel a calmness. For I have a precious anchor.
Father, Lord Jesus. It is a revelation. It's a revelation that you've come and you've dealt with us. You've walked with us. You've revealed yourself to us. Lord, we're so grateful for how you take our lives and you mold them into what you'd have us to be. You know your purpose. You know what your will is. You know the direction that we need to go. And Father, you set the path in our lives. You set the connections. And you help us to meet the people that we're supposed to meet, whether it's our mates, our brides, our grooms, and those that we're supposed to marry, those that we have as children. Lord, you're in all of those things. And Father, we thank you for a revelation to understand that. And Lord, as we come through this life, we can appreciate every stage of it because, Lord, you've been there the whole time. Father, we've come here this morning because we're needy people. We need your grace. We need your forgiveness. We need your love. We need your direction. We come here because we don't have all the answers, but we come for the answers. Father, as we open up the word here this morning, we ask you to speak to our hearts. Thank you for Brother Childers and how you blessed him in his life. All that he's done to help us here. Bless this congregation that's waiting, Lord, and ask you to just speak to our hearts this morning. Tie this thing together in such a way that it'll make us better Christians, people who would look to you for direction. Help us to be stronger, to be able to defeat Satan in every area, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you have it all made. You have it. You have the way made for us. When we don't see answers, Lord, and we don't know which way to turn, Lord, we can always turn to you because you have an answer for everything. Thank you for this group. Thank you for your word. Have your way throughout the remainder of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, Brother Childers, he goes over things when he's talking about things because he's been through a lot. That's 87. He didn't give you 87 years worth. He just gave you a snippet here or there. But he's been blessed with 87 years. You know, God has been good to him. And God has been good to us. And we've been blessed through God blessing him. And we come here because we need to understand. We need an understanding. You know, this is a new phase for me and Clarice. Our last of our children have moved out. So now we're empty nesters, so we don't have any kids at home anymore. So that's the first time in 31 years that we haven't had children in our house. So it's another phase. You know, and I've always said this, and I do believe this, that whatever state you find yourself, enjoy that time. You got to pick up and go on. Enjoy every phase that God gives you in your life. Because it's called life. And it happens to us all. And, you know, Brother Childers is 87. He's been where we're going. And people that go through life, you can go through life one or two ways. You can enjoy every phase of it. Or you can gripe and complain and whine about what condition you're in. And drag your feet and have a miserable life. You can have a miserable life. You can have a miserable life down here if you choose to. And you can enjoy this life down here if you choose to. You say, well, bad things happen to me. Bad things happen to us all. You know.
My kids all left. I got me a dog.
Yep.
Now the dog's gone.
Right.
I got me a bunch of cats.
Right. And you're trying to get rid of them.
And I'm trying to get... But God is blessed.
Yeah.
And you know, I've never wanted to be too sad.
No, on anything.
No.
Because we all go through things.
Yeah, I pick up, go on. I look at you, Bill, and I think, do they understand? It's hard for you to understand if you don't go through it.
That's right. And we're all headed that way. You have no other alternative. Either you're headed that way or you're going to die young. I think I'd rather head that way. And enjoy the journey while you're going. You know, when I was single, I enjoyed being single. When I got married, I enjoyed being married without kids. Then I had kids. Then I enjoyed my kids. Now I got rid of my kids. Now I'm going to enjoy this part of life too. That's the way you go through life. I hear so many people, they whine about everything that happens to them, and they're never happy, and whatever stays again, they're always looking for the next. Oh, I can't wait till this. Oh, I can't wait to get married. Oh, I can't wait till I have kids. I can't wait till the kids get out of the house. I can't wait till I'm getting divorced. I don't, you know, on and on and on. Never satisfied in whatever state they're in. But whatever state you're in, you need to be happy. Be content is what the Bible says. Be content in that state. Don't whine about where you're at. Take what you have. I always say about Lois, she'd order water and lemons. She'd take that water and that lemon and make lemonade. You know, take what you got and use it. Amen. So that you can enjoy life. Because when this life is done, it's done. Don't think you're going to go to heaven to be happy. Heaven has got its own happiness. So if you don't enjoy what God's given you now, putting it all off to get to heaven, you're going to be sorely disappointed when you get there. Because you're going to get there and you're going to realize that I've wasted that whole time being a whole stick in the mud when I could have been enjoying myself. So enjoy this life. That's free advertisement for you. All right. Now, I want to get to my message this morning because Brother Children get ready to go. He'll be ready to go eat, and I ain't going to let him go. I'll say, sit down there. I got something to say here. Now, we've been talking on doctrines, and it's been great. And I purposely have been titling these messages the doctrine of, because when people go through our website and they go down through there, they can see the doctrine of, and they can just pick them out if they want to. And maybe at some point we'll take them and put them in their own little area, because these are things that we don't hit all the time. And I'll maybe get with Joe and maybe put up a screen that has just doctrines, just nothing but doctrines, because we've been talking for weeks, for a good little while on doctrines, and not hitting all of them. And even when we're hitting them, we're just hitting the highlights. We've been preaching for 50 years on doctrine. Yes. That's what Brother Childers has been doing, and that's what we've been doing. So all these doctrines that we've been dealing with over the last few weeks are very important to you. And they're very important because it establishes you. And people go to church, and they don't know why they go. They really don't. They don't have doctrine preached to them. They have a lot of feel-good things. They teach them a lot of psychology and teach them how to make it through this life and make money and be successful and all those things. But, you know, that's really not doctrine. That's socialism and social religion that sometimes you get that taught to you, and it makes you a better neighbor, but it doesn't make you a believer. Right. And what makes you a believer is doctrine. Right. Because doctrine is preached, and when doctrine is preached, a believer believes the doctrine. Amen. If the doctrine is preached and you don't believe it, then you're not a believer. Right. And that's okay too. Because you are not solid without doctrine. If you don't have doctrine, you'll be tossed to and fro. No foundation. You won't even know who's right. There's over 1,000 denominations out there. Which one? If I lined up 1,000 doors and told you, one of these doors go to heaven, pick the right one. What are the chances are that you're going to pick the right door out of 1,000 doors? So people picking all these doors all the time. But a lot of times you go in those doors and they're not teaching doctrine. And they got a lot of social gospel, and they make you feel good, and they'll baptize your babies, and they'll bury your dead, but that's as far as they can take you. So we've been going over doctrines here because Brother Childers, he's been here preaching this for over 50 years. And I've been privileged to sit under it for 38 years, and every one of them he preached, I picked up. Right. And these things that I picked up has made me stronger, has made me solid. And now, because of my role here, I didn't know it at the time, but as I was picking up the doctrines, it was necessary for me to pick them up because I needed to be able to explain the doctrines to the people.
Right.
Now, you may not have to understand all the doctrines. I do.
Amen.
That's my job.
That's right.
That's why you're there and I'm here.
That's right.
If you understood the doctrines, I'd be there and you'd be here.
Right.
And the reason that I had to pick it up, and it wasn't even my smartness. That's the thing I love about it. It's not your smartness. It's God revealing to you what he wants you to know.
Right.
If God doesn't want you to pick it up, you won't pick it up. I don't care how much you study it. People have studied the Word of God for, 2,000 years. And they have made a mess of it. Because they've used tradition of men, they use their own ideas, they've used all kind of education, and all that education did was take them farther away from the doctrines because they got more men's thinking in there than God. And Jesus said, because of your traditions, you've made the Word of God a none effect. So for us to spend this time on the different doctrines is very important, and you should be paying attention.
Amen.
You really should. You don't just come here and listen to it and say, that's nice. No, no, pick something up.
Right.
You know, take something home. It makes you stronger. And we need to be strong believers in this hour, especially this hour when there's so many things being thrown at us that's not doctrinal.
Right.
And it's coming from the educated. It's coming from the wise and prudent. And it's coming from the smart. And if you don't have any doctrine, you won't even know the answer to tell them.
Right. Right.
Or matter of fact, it made you what you are. It's made me what I am. Doctrine is what makes you solid. That's why I said weeks ago, I said, you think Brother Childers is bold? You think he's strong? And I've seen a lot of people be strong and bold with no doctrine. And they think that because they're strong and bold and bullheaded, that makes them ready for the journey. But that's not it. What makes you strong is the doctrine. That's what's made Brother Childers strong. That's what's made me strong. I don't sit here and wonder if you're right and I'm wrong or if I've got to right. Oh, I know I'm right.
Amen.
You say, well, that's awful. See, that's why they thought Brother Childers was, sort of called to talking about himself and called himself. No, they thought he was just talking about himself. No, he was talking about the boldness
Amen.
That God gave him.
Right.
I talk about it the same way. You know, I don't expect you to come here and teach me anything. I really don't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not the way. See, God has a way
Amen.
That he does things. He's got an order about himself. He never takes anything back. He never changes his mind about his word. He's got an order for the way that you're even going to be able to receive the word. You won't get this through your studies. It takes a preacher. Without a preacher, you can't get this. I don't care what church you were brought up in. You've got to have a preacher. And he's got to be a preacher that's sent from God. And he's got to be born again. He's got to have a revelation. He's got to have doctrine. If you don't have those things, you can't even begin to grow. So when I come in here every service, I don't come in here in hopes that somebody's going to come and teach me something. I don't expect you to teach me something. I'm the teacher.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Amen.
It might make people mad, but that's okay. I'm not worried about your feelings because I know where your feelings come from.
Amen.
Your feelings are just an emotional part of you that's on the spirit realm. But what you better do is say amen to the word when it comes forth, because what I'm saying is the word of God.
I've come in here many times knowing I was the only one that knew what was going on.
That's right. And you know what? You got to feel that way. You got to be that way, or you cannot be the leader. I mean, that's what leading is about. When you go to school and the teacher stands in the front of the class, she's not there to learn from you. That teacher's there to teach you what they know. When I get up here, I'm not here to learn from you. I'm here to teach you. And thank God that I picked up these doctrines over 38 years that I can turn around and teach you what I've been taught. That's how it works. You have nothing. You just got a churchiness about you. That's all you got at best. Now, I got to get started on my today's doctrine. I'm just sort of nibbling around the edges because you got to understand this is the way it comes. See, that's why we're hitting these, and that's why you all should be paying so much attention with these messages, these doctrines. And Jeremiah read something from a brother overseas here to me the other day, and in that email that he read, this brother listed 8, 9, 10, 12 doctrines, just flat back to back to back to back. And so there's a lot of them, and most people don't want doctrine. That's why Timothy said, Timothy was told, preach the gospel. Because there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want this. That's why this place is not packed. They don't want sound doctrine. They could care less about doctrine. Matter of fact, the less doctrine you preach, the more they like it. Because if you don't preach doctrine, you can make everybody happy. You can tell everybody to love your children. They'll all agree with that. You can tell everybody to be a good neighbor. They'll love that. But when it comes to the Word of God, you got to find your man bringing it word upon word. That's rare. That's rare. I know I'm rare. I know I'm different. I know that you can't just find me anywhere.
You know, I've always been walking in, looking at people, I said, I'm a doctrine preacher.
You're a doctrine preacher. And we
they
are.
They don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, since we've been going over these doctrines, it should show people what you were talking about. Amen. Now, and I got one today, and I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start there. Now, I really appreciate it Wednesday night. I appreciate you brothers taking up the slack when I'm gone. And, you know, Brother Childers told me years ago when I first started pastoring, I always have to make sure who's going to preach, make sure there's a preacher lined up, make sure the church is taken care of. Brother Childers one day looked at me and said, what are you doing? So I'm making sure things are set up when I leave. He said, I tell you what. He said, you just go. Don't even tell them you're leaving. Don't even worry about it. There's enough of us here. We'll take care of home. Don't you even worry about home. I said, you're right. And ever since then, I never worried about it again. So but I appreciate you brothers kicking it in when I'm gone. I've got things I'm doing. I've got things I've got need to do. You know, I'm not really quote-unquote employed right now. So while I've got the time, I'm taking advantage of it. Because if I start working, I won't be able to do it. There's needs out there, so I'm taking care of it. You say, well, you ought to be here. You don't even need to even go there. Because Brother Childers told me years ago also, he said, you should be able to be gone 6 months. 6 months. And the church be right where it needs to be when you get back. So I ain't tried that one yet. I'm building y'all up. But, no, I appreciate you all being here. And I enjoy Wednesday night, the doctrine of unconditional covenant. And Jeremiah's fun doctrine. That he says he likes to preach on the fun things and leave the hard work for me. So he's right. You know, some things that I need to talk on and things that I need to handle, because y'all look at Jeremiah like he don't know what he's talking about. Even though he does, and he can say the same thing, but it just has a special punch when the pastor says it. And it should. You know, there's times when the mama whipped the kids, and there's times when the mama says, wait till your daddy get home. So we want to start over here, because we're just hitting the highlights. I'm not trying to get a hold. We've been preaching this 50 years. So the best you're going to do is skip over it a little bit here and hit the water here and there as you go. Ephesians chapter 5, this is one I want to start out with, verse 22. Wives!
Talk about it.
Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in some things. In everything. Husbands! I'm glad they put these together. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourish and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, that they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverences her husband. Didn't I say God had an order? I was trying to ease y'all into this. Today, this morning, I want to talk on the doctrine of headship. You know, I want to talk on headship because headship is not how people think it is. And Brother Childers has been known as the headship preacher. Because he preached this doctrine over the years. And it's funny because I don't care what you say. You got to make sense of this scripture. If you can't, if you say, oh, I don't believe it, just tear it out of the Bible then. You might as well just tear it out. And might as well just tear out the other things you don't believe. Matter of fact, just throw away the book. Because it's all in there, but you have to see how it ties. There's a real doctrine of headship that applies. Now, I want to start with Ephesians here, Ephesians 5, because it's got a lot of meat in there on many levels. And we're going to deal with these levels this morning. And just as Paul did, I'm going to start with your wives. Because in this generation that we're living in, nobody is subject to nobody. We think. Women have rights. Men have rights. Gays have rights. Children have rights. Animals have rights. Plants have rights. Everybody has rights. Do you know why we are here? Because God said that we were going to be here. Lady of Sin is the last age that the church was in, and Lady of Sin means age of equal rights. We were coming here whether we wanted to get here or not. But when we got to the age, this last church age, the Lady of Sin church age, which started in 1906, that is located in the book of Revelations, which churches don't deal with that doctrine at all. But we are in the last days. The church is in the Laodicean church age. They have totally gotten away from submission. Everybody has. This is the age of rights. That's why they're marching today. Black rights. I don't know. Name it. I couldn't think. It means everything. But because we're in this age, people, we should understand everything. We should understand why they can't get along. We should understand why people are just, they're killing and destroying the environment. So people want to protect the environment. Just on and on and on. I can go on and on. So when it comes to wives submitting, they're not going to submit to nothing. Matter of fact, submission is a dirty word to people. It's a dirty word, but it's a necessary word. Because Brother Branham said, the zeal of the hour is to say I'm wrong. In order for you to say you're wrong, you have to submit.
Amen.
So we get caught up with these first two words. Wives, submit. Because the wives have it wrong and the husbands have it wrong. Nobody has it right. And without it, you got a mess. Wives are afraid to submit because he's going to take advantage of her. And the man, on his part, loves that word submit because he thinks he can dog his wife. And both of them are far wrong from east is from the west. It's not about dogging your wife. It's not about being the boss. It's not about taking advantage. It's not about trying to keep yourself from being taken. You know, we don't want to be a doormat. You know that saying? If I submit, I'll be a doormat. And sometimes men make you doormats. And that's wrong too. So submission is a hard thing to get across to people in this hour. Nobody wants to submit. Everybody wants to be the boss. Do you realize to be a good employee, you have to submit to your boss? I was thinking the other day when I was thinking on this, I said, you know what? It just because a man and a woman is married doesn't mean he's always right and she's always wrong. And I thought about it because I thought about how it works at work. Just because your boss is the boss doesn't mean your boss is always right and you're always wrong. Now, we can all say amen to that because we've had bosses who were wrong and thought they were right. But submission is a totally different thing. Number one, whether it's with the man or the woman, and I've been thinking about this for days, whether it's the man or women, submission is not to the person, but it's to the Word of God. You know, everything we do is to the Word of God. If I'm obedient, it's because the Word says it. If I submit, it's because the Word says it. And it's not hard. It's not a chore. It's a privilege.
Amen.
When I came to this church, I had to submit myself to my pastor.
Amen. That's right.
I didn't tell him nothing. Matter of fact, everything he said, I said, okay. When I'd write letters, I'd give them back to him and say, tell me what I've done wrong and tell me where to correct them. I'll take them home and I'll correct them and I'll bring them back again. He never gave me one letter back. You know why he never gave one letter back? Because I knew his mind. If you know your husband's mind, you're not always taking everything back. But in order to get his mind, you got to submit. You say, why do I have to have his mind? Because that's God's word. See, everything has to go back to God's word. It's not about who's the smartest. There's some dumb men in the world. And God's not trying to turn a woman over to a dumb man. But because of his role, she has to submit to the role. See, it's just like in a church. You have to submit to me because it's the role. I'm your pastor. We're not dealing with smart. I'm not the pastor because I'm the smartest person in here. I'm the pastor because God said so.
Amen.
And I can be dumb as a box of rocks.
That's right.
But if God put me here, I'll be smarter than you when I need to be. That's the word of God. Whether you want to or not, because it's the word of God. See, that's where people mess up. The men want to boss the woman around, caveman style. And it's not even about bossing her around. Matter of fact, it's not about her and you at all. It's about the word of God. She has the word of God to listen to, and you have the word of God to listen to. She has a role, and you have a role. So submission for her isn't submitting to you, it's submitting to God. She submits to the man by the word of God. So wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And I'm glad they said your own. That stood out to me. Because you know some men, they think all women have to listen to me. No, they don't. Matter of fact, don't you even talk to my wife. He is in charge. The man is in charge. But to his own wife. Not to any and every woman in the world. And when you even say in charge, that's bad taste to people. What do you mean in charge? He's responsible. He's got the last word on the matter. And it's not even that he has to even be right. Because you know what? God looks at faith. I was thinking about this. I said, God looks at faith. If that woman has faith in the word of God and she submits herself according to the word of God, God will make that man do the right thing. Amen. Even if he doesn't want to. Sometimes I think we're looking for excuses to get away with murder. We want to disobey our husband, so we'll say, well, he's not right. He doesn't have to be right. It's not about you and him. It's about you and God. It's your faith in God that makes God move on him. Do you know healing isn't even about me? I could pray for Jeremiah right now. And you know what? If he gets healed, it won't be because of me. It's because of his faith. His faith is what moves the gift. His faith in the word of God moves the gift. The same way in a home. A wife's submission isn't to the man. She submits to the man because the word says so. But her faith is not in a man, but her faith is in God. That's how it works. He better obey God. So see, that's why I said I'm glad they put both of these in there together. Because she's got something to do and he's got something to do. Remember back in Genesis, God took them both out from the same covenant and put them under separate covenants? We don't want to, we think we got to be have the last word. You don't have to have the last word. Man doesn't have to have the last word. The wife doesn't have to have the last word. We have fusses and fighting at home because everybody's trying to take care of their rights. And ain't nobody looking at the word of God. Nobody's trusting God to do anything. Matter of fact, when my wife's wrong, I should trust God that he'll fix her. That ain't my job. My job is just speak the truth. My job is speak the word. And if God doesn't fix her, then she just won't get fixed. Does that mean you're going to divorce her? No, I said till death do we part. If she can stay with me, I'll stay with her. She can put up with me, I'll put up with her. Why? Because I'm not all that great myself. She's looking at me and saying, God, fix that man. He's got problems, he's got issues, he's got shortcomings. And I'm looking at her and saying, God, fix that woman. She got problems, she got issues, she's got shortcomings. But our faith is in God. That's all you're doing. That's all either one of us are doing.
Yeah.
Carrying out what God says. Yeah. What God says.
Amen.
And it's not trying to satisfy everybody's husband.
You got that right.
It's your own.
Right.
If my wife dressed the way I want her, then I don't care what you think.
You
might not can stand her cologne. I might love it.
Amen.
Doesn't matter about you. You said, man, tell your wife I don't like that cologne. Your own husband. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, we don't like that. Because we don't want a head. There's never been a time when people don't want leadership. And you know when that happened? At the fall. I got the scripture. Don't make me read it. At the fall it happened. Now it might be 2017. We might all be working. We might all be smart and educated. And we might all think we know the right things. But it doesn't change the word of God.
Amen.
Like I said the other week, I said, you better say amen when the word says something. I don't care whether you like it or not. You might not want the man to be the head, but you better say it.
Amen.
You better agree with it.
Amen.
You might not like it. No, you don't have to like it. But it's the word.
Amen.
See, the... Leave it alone.
Amen.
People don't want to submit.
Amen.
That's why they can't keep jobs.
That's right.
They don't want to submit to the boss.
That's right.
We don't want to submit to government. We don't want to submit to the church. We don't want to submit to the pastor. We're our own boss. You are not your own boss.
That's true.
You say, well, I've never been brought up that way. You don't have to be brought up that way. It's still the word of God. You can read, can't you? See, what God was doing, I was thinking about this morning. I said, God was trying to teach us how to have a good home. Do I have to have this? No. Does it have to work this way? No. But like Brother Children said, you'll have a mess on your hands. I watch homes that don't have leadership, that don't have a final voice, don't have a head. And they're a mess. He's so weak, he can't make a decision without her. And she's so bossy, he better not make one without her. And they'll fight, and they'll fuss, and they'll argue, and she wants to be the head. Because that's what the age we're living in. I'm just as smart as you. As a matter of fact, I'm smarter than you. I know more than you. But it's not about what you know. God requires us to fall in line with where he places us. And when you fail to do so, I'll say it again. What Brother Children said, you'll have a mess on your hands. Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, I went and looked up something. I'm just going to jump right down there for a minute. I want you to look up a leader. What is a leader? Because people don't understand what a leader is. People think a leader is just somebody that works with you. No. A leader doesn't work with you. A leader leads you. You're silly if you think I'm working here to work with you. I'm not working here with you. Come and go with me to my Father's house if you want to go. But I'm leading the way. God told me years ago, because see, I used to try to gather everybody together, wait till everybody wants to be aboard, and make sure everybody's all together. God said, what are you doing? Lead. So leaders lead. They take the first step, and they walk. And people follow. This is not a shared leadership here at this church. I'm sorry. It's not the way that works. There's only one pastor here. That's why God only put one pastor in a local assembly. Because you can only have one leader at a time. Because if you got two leaders, you got two minds. That's why Brother Children said he has to submit himself to me. Because he understands that you can only have one leader. You don't even have Brother Children as your pastor. I've always told you, I said, he's my pastor. He's not even your pastor. He's my elder. He's the only one in this place that can tell me anything.
Amen.
All right. Headship. Leader. The person who leads or commands a group, organization, or country. It could be as simple as two of us, husband and wife. There has to be a leader. You're both trying to go through the door at the same time. It ain't going to happen. Somebody has to go first. Somebody has to lead. God was trying to set some things in order to show us how headship and leadership works. Somebody has to lead. And if somebody has to lead, somebody's got to follow. That's common sense. Everybody's not leading. Yeah, let's all try to get 50, 60 people out that door at the same time. Yeah. It'll be, they call that a stampede. Okay. So, for the husband is the head of the wife. He is supposed to lead.
That's right.
It doesn't make him dogmatic. It doesn't make him the king. He doesn't rule. His job, his position is to lead. It's just like somebody who has an office here, a musician. Everybody can't play the piano. Somebody's got to, but everybody don't. He said, well, I can do that. Get up here. That's Brother Mike. He'll tell you it ain't easy. But if that's where God places you, God will bless that. See, if a husband is doing his role, God will bless him. If a wife is doing her role, God will bless her. Whether the husband does his or not, whether the wife does hers or not, your blessing is not dependent on the opposite person doing the right thing. A lot of people use that as an excuse as to why they can get away with nothing. They'll tell me, well, he's not listening to God, so I don't have to follow him. Where do you read that? That's not the word of God. Your faith is not in him. Your faith is in the word. Your headship isn't in the man, it's in God's word.
Amen.
God just has that man there, and God will deal with him as according to what he needs to deal with him. And you, it's not your job to make him pay. Some wives want to make their husband pay. Oh, you're going to pay now. You get out of this room. You're sleeping on the couch. You're out of here. And she's going to make him pay. But that's not her place. He's going to make her pay. He's going to call it, no, that's not your place. He's got a role, she's got a role, and when they're both doing their job, it works perfectly.
Amen.
And when only one of them is doing their job, it works perfectly.
Amen.
I just want to hear if I was going to get the same amount of amens. I didn't. Man. We make it, we always put it on our spouse. So that's why the first one was all, did you hear all those amens the first time? It was like, yeah, when we're both doing it. See, honey, I told you. When we're both doing it right, this home will be perfect. And then I turned and tricked you. I said, when one of you doing it right, it works perfectly. And I didn't hear as many amens because y'all don't believe that. Y'all think that, well, my perfect home depends on her. No, it doesn't. My perfect home depends on him. No, it doesn't. A sanctified wife sanctifies the husband. A sanctified husband sanctifies the wife.
Amen.
You hold her up for her weaknesses.
Amen.
You hold him up for his downcomings.
Amen.
You hold each other up in prayer because remember, you are the believer.
Amen.
You're the Christian. I have the worst people in the world call themselves Christians and always say, they're going to vengeance. You're going to get them. I'm like, well, I thought you were the believer. I always tell people, say, since you're so close to God, why don't you pray for me? Yeah, they're so holy, they're so righteous, and they want to do it right, but my spouse. I have more complaints from people talking about their spouse, and it's not their spouse. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Amen.
Brother Chivers taught me this a long time ago. He said, don't even meet with just one of them. Because it's going to be unbalanced. He'll come with his story. Oh, she didn't cook dinner. Oh, she gets up late. Oh, she won't clean the house. And then you talk to her. Oh, he won't go to work. He's so lazy, I can't even straighten the bed because he's in it till 10. And I can't do this, and I can't. So you get them both in the same room. Say, well, what's your problem? Well, we just can't communicate. That ain't what you said. And that ain't what she said. Because they can't lie on each other when we're all in the same room together. So Brother Chills told me a long time ago, don't just talk with one, talk with both. Because I have them tell me all the time, well, can I come talk to you? No! Bring your wife.
Amen.
Bring your husband. We'll talk this through. I don't mind talking through. And matter of fact, when you get here, it's my turn to talk. You're not even talking. I don't need to hear your mouth. I need to hear your ears. I need you to listen. Because God's got me in this role because I can help you if you let me. God has an order, Brother Childers. He won't bypass that order for nobody. God will do nothing except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet.
Amen.
That's his order.
Amen.
can't get it without the fivefold ministry. That's his order. Pastor is in the church to control and deal with the spirits of the church. That's his order. You say, I don't like that order. Too bad. Submit yourself. Submit. Submit. You want your wife to submit. What about you, men? Oh, listen to the sisters now. They don't want the order. God will not change that order. That order will be here till we get a body change. You will never get so much revelation that you don't need God's order. You'll never get so much God that you don't need a pastor. You'll never get so much order that you don't need the fivefold ministry. That's why I have preachers come in. I don't have so much order that I'm the pastor and I got to have it all and I can do it all myself. No, I need preachers come through. I need my ministers to help me out. I need my evangelists. I need my prophets. I need my teachers. I need the whole fivefold ministry because it balances me. God's got an order. You say, well, I don't need no order. No, well, you don't need God then. That's God's way. I'm sorry if you don't like it, but it's the way it is. See, that's why I said this is the age of equal rights. It's so easy to slip into this age and think, well, I got just as much God as you. Brother Children told us years ago, he said, I'll take your God away that you think you have.
Amen.
Do you realize I got so much God I can take your God away from you?
Amen.
I just want to shake him a little bit, Brother Children. That's what Brother Children said.
Amen.
Brother Children looked and said, I'll take away your Holy Ghost you think you have. Sometimes you got to just shake them because this age is rough. It's hard on us, but I'm sorry. We don't need to be victims of this age. There is an order to God's word, and Brother Children's headship was one of the doctrines that got him in more trouble than any other doctrine because it's hard. It's straight. It doesn't leave a way out for the women. It doesn't leave a way out for the men. It doesn't leave a way out for the church. It doesn't leave a way out for anybody. You will submit yourself or you can't go. That's God's way. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ. Now, see, here's really where headship comes in. That husband and wife and home and all that stuff, yeah, we pat a cake with that. That's good and all, but that's not even the important issue. It's Christ in the church. That's the way he runs it. God could do no better than follow his own instructions. He chose headship to run the church.
Right.
We can't get around it. We can't outsmart him. It's more so important, this part, than even a husband and wife.
Right.
It says, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Yes. Right.
My, how important that headship role is.
Right.
You can't even get, you know, the Savior of the body, we don't even want to talk about that. Tights and shadows. Do you know, in reality, Christ is the Savior of the body, the church?
Right.
Do you know, in type, the husband is the Savior of the body in the home?
Right.
I didn't know that. Whoa, you learned something today. That's how important that role is.
Amen.
And it's not the man, it's the role. Remember back over there in Genesis when he said, you'll be saved in childbearing?
Right.
Who is he talking to? Eve.
Yeah. Right.
And submitting herself to her husband? Eve.
Right.
But you can, okay, I got the question now. But what if she doesn't? It's just a type.
Right.
Right.
You say, well, my wife isn't subject to me. Well, it's a good type. I wish she would, but you know what? Just because she breaks the type doesn't send her to hell.
That's right.
We want to send them to hell. My wife's not obedient, so she's not going to heaven. What? I'm the Savior of the body. Just a type. You can't save yourself. But the type and shadow shows you true headship. And when Brother Childers preached headship, and when Brother Brown preached headship, and when Brother Nate preaches headship, it's to show you the type and shadows so you can see what really headship is about.
Amen.
It's not about your wife not talking back to you. That's just a type.
Right.
You say, if my wife Well, you know, Brother Brown said, you know, Brother Brown said at the time he was so cut. He said, if a woman cuts her hair, you can divorce her. But it's just a type. They're types, types, types. The reality is Christ in the church. I might mess things up 100% with my wife or my spouse, but you know what? Don't mess up with Christ.
Right.
Submit yourself to Christ. And that you cannot, because he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let us wives, little wives, be subject to their own husbands in everything. Everything.
Right.
Somebody's got to have the last word. Our biggest problem now is we want to make sure who has the last word. But her submission is by faith to the word. Not in me beating Clarice over the head saying, look, I'm going to say the last word. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, not. Yes, you are. No, not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. It's submission. Her willingness to submit to the word of God will put it on my shoulders. And me being a man will put it on my shoulders and take care of it so that she doesn't even have to worry about it.
Right.
We have got it so screwed up now in this generation that we think it's a bad thing to be able to give it to somebody else. To turn it on whenever I have a problem that I can't deal with and don't know the answer, I was glad to give it to Brother Childers. Gladly. It took the load off. I didn't think it was me being subject and, I got to go talk to Brother Children. Oh, this is so hard. That's why I hear sisters say, it's so hard. Headship is so hard. I said, it is. It's not hard. You just don't want to submit. And you're not submitting to the man. It's submission to the Word of God. That's what makes it hard, is when you don't want to submit. What makes it hard on my brothers is when you don't want to submit. When I got something and I just take it to Brother Childers, I was gladly taking it to him because I didn't know the answer and I knew I didn't have the answers and I wanted an answer that I could rest on. And when I turned it over, whether he told me right then or he said, I'll get back with you on this one. And then he comes back with an answer. I'm like, psh, praise the Lord. Amen. I looked at his God. I didn't look at his Brother Childers.
No, right.
See, our problem is we don't look at our husbands as God. Let me say it from back here. We don't look at our husbands as God. Because if you did, you could get a lot of things solved right away. And it doesn't make you less of a woman. It just means you don't have to carry that load. And you're having faith in God, not in the man. When I give something to Brother Childers, I don't look at the man. I'm not saying, well, Brother Childers told me. No, God said. And I drive that stake right there. God said. God said. God said. Now put that devil's nose right in it. God said. Why? Headship. It's a privilege to be able to turn it over to a head to allow them to be able to be God's answer to whatever I need. If a wife could do that in her home, she wouldn't have to worry about a lot of things she worries about. That husband, he would put a load on him that he can't get away from.
Right.
It'll make him, it'll level him down. Have you ever, you know, talk about an empty wagon, those loud empty wagons. When you put a load in it, it settles that thing right down.
Right.
Settles that thing right down. You take all your troubles and your problems and put them on your husband. You tell him, I need to hear from God.
Amen.
Whatever you say, it's going to be the final. See, we don't even know how to get a hold of God. We think we got to go find somebody in there sleeping next to God and act like you got to go find God.
Wow.
All you got to do is roll over. Hey, I got something bothering me. And you know I'm a believer.
Right.
The Bible tells me to submit myself to you. And I'm submitting myself to you. And I'm expecting that the next words out of your mouth is going to be God.
Amen.
Because I got that much faith. I believe God so much that your mouth won't even move unless it's him.
Amen.
There you go. There you go, wives. You want to get a hold of God, a real God? There you go, wives. Oh, I don't want that much God. But headship means God has an order and you can get answers right in your own bed. All right. For the husband's the head of wife, and is Christ the head of church. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, my. Get out of that bed, man. You are supposed to love your wife. And love your wife ain't just sleeping with your wife. Love your wife is working when you don't want to. Love your wife is being a Christian and being God to her so that she can come to you with anything. Such an example of Christ to her that she wouldn't want to go anywhere else. Why go down the street for God when he's right in my same room? But in order for that to happen, you need to present yourself to your wife as God. Don't say one thing and do something else. She won't have no confidence in you. God's never late. God never lies. God's always right on time. God supplies all my needs. When I see what God gives me and you're not giving that to your wife, then there's something wrong with your example. Can you go back up to the top of the verses? I like it better when you talk about the wife. There's an order to bring God in your home. And if she can depend on you to give her God's answer, then she has no need to look anywhere else. And when you come to church, you're both coming to hear from God for the home. And you're not coming here and he's staying home or she's staying home and you're coming here. You're both coming because you both need this to help balance that. Some of the wives are sitting at home now listening to this thing on the internet. You need to be here by your man's side. I'd put so much pressure on him that he'd have to be God or die. I'd come to church and slide right up next to him and say, you hear that? Yeah. Yeah. We're taking this home. It's going to be in our house. Yeah, we're bringing God home. We're not just going to see God at church. He's coming home. You're bringing him, and I'm bringing him. Why? Because we're bringing the Word of God. And both of us, I heard you say amen. I knew you knew it was right, and I said amen too. So now let's apply it. Headship. Love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. She gets it when, if there's only a little, she gets it. If there's only one slice of bread, she gets it. That's what you bought into. It costs you. It costs both of you. It costs you both. See, we in this message, we preach headship and we put it all on the woman. Like, oh, she's got... Settle down, sis. Settle down. You protest too much. But when the man get the load on him, it'll level him down. When the woman get the load on her, it'll level her down. And it's for the home. It's not just one. It's for us all. Headship hits us all. Headship covers us all. God's order covers us all. In this message, they want to put it all on the woman. It says, oh, the wife's got it. The wife's got to submit. She's got to submit to the husband. But they forget about the rest of it. See, this is why people don't want doctrine. It costs you. Headship costs you. The doctrines cost you. If you say you're a believer and you go home to your wife, she knows whether you are or not. She knows if you're testifying, being at church and coming home and smacking her. And he knows if she's getting up testifying how much she does for her husband and when she gets home, she don't do a thing. Amen, lights. This is why they didn't like Brother Childers, because he preached this. Headship is for us all. Amen. You can't get around headship and be a Christian.
That's right.
You're making that the evidence. No, I'm just saying a true believer will love headship and will submit to it, whether they want to or not. There's a lot of things I submitted to I didn't want to. Why? Because I knew what God's order is. I knew what God's word calls for. Oh, I'm not getting nowhere fast. All right. Let's jump on down to verse 32. Skip those others. This is a great mystery. This is a doctrine that nobody hardly deals with. They don't, the church world don't even know what to do with a husband and wife now. They really don't. They have no answers. Because she's making more money than him. So obviously, she's got to have the say-so. You know, she's sort of the boss. She's, and they don't know what to do. It's an hour where just people are just so confused that they don't even know how a home's supposed to work. For us to say a husband's ahead of a home now is bad words to people. To say a wife submit herself to her husband, they don't want to hear it. We come a long way, baby. We burn our bras in the 60s. We ain't going back. Don't pull my chair out. Don't open my door. I'm just as equal as you. But what does the word say? They don't care what the word of God says. They don't even care what the word of God says. But this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. Amen. Headship is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. There it is.
Amen.
Whether you get married or not, you still have headship.
Right.
Whether it's right in your home or not, you still have headship.
Right.
Everything comes in under headship because we're concerning Christ and the church.
Amen.
You may not submit yourself to me, but you better submit yourself to Christ.
Amen.
You got to have that right. You know what? You could go to heaven without getting headship right with me. But you can't go to heaven getting headship wrong with Christ.
Right.
You can't. You got to submit yourself to him, because you know what? Everything he wants you to do is die.
Right.
Paul said, I die daily.
Yeah.
I submit myself daily. That's what God wants from us. All right. Jumping on down. Won't go there, but Genesis 2:18, God said, it is not good that a man should bear should dwell alone, but I will make him a helpmeet. God made man a helpmeet. To help meet what? Help meet his needs.
Right.
I always thought that was weird. He said, help meet. But not me. Help meet. Help meet the needs. The need of the home. The need of the man. The need of the woman. Need, you know, they're helpers, one of another.
Right.
He should be helping her, and she should be helping her, him.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not domineering. When I come to this message, it was awful. It does.
Right.
When you
that's
turn
really
it, when you turn it over, you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
And never, never, never take the answer from God back. You know, I've had people say, well, you told me this, and it didn't work. So you gave me the wrong advice. I'm thinking, interesting. Interesting. You approach me as God. I get an answer from God to give you. It doesn't work out for you. And now it's my fault. Obviously, I didn't hear from God. You didn't see the trick of the devil? So since I didn't hear from God, then I'm not God. So if I got that wrong, then what else you got wrong? And you can't believe a word he says, and on and on. See, it's just the devil. Just the devil. If you have your headship right and you approach God, I don't care how it comes out.
Right. Amen.
You never take God's word back and say, oh, well, it's... I never looked at Brother Joseph and said, oh, you told me Clarice would make a good wife, and she threw a skillet at me yesterday. Maybe you missed it, Brother Childers. Maybe. You know what? I'd have to question me before I question that. I would. Because I so believe the word and have faith in what I ask, that I will not take it back if it even works out what I think is wrong. Because I got another scripture.
Amen.
Romans 8:28, all things work together. Whether it's good or bad, whether we end up in divorce or not, whatever happens, it was God when he said it. It was God. I drove my stake and I'll never take it back.
Amen.
I'll never take back. When I hear people say, well, God said, and I watch them. Because when you tell me God told you something, I'm going to watch you. I see how long God told you. And then when it fizzles out, I say, well, that wasn't God. God told me I needed to move and go out of here, out west to this place. Really? And they go out there and fizzle out. Where are they at now? Not even going to church. That really was God. It sounded like God was getting rid of you. That's what it sounds like to me. It's not like God was giving you the boot. But see, when God says something to me, I don't take it back. I will say I'm wrong before I say that God gave me the wrong advice. I'll say I messed it up. God told me what to do, but I didn't do it right like God said it. So I do that. I would do that every time. I've never had a time that Brother Childers ever told me something that I had to go back to him and say, Brother Childers, you messed up on that one. Mm-mm. No. I don't care how it turns out. I look at me. I said, God told me. So what did I do that I didn't do? Well, I'd messed up. So that's what you need to understand, is that God has an order, and you never, never, never walk away from that order. Okay. God is, Christ is the head of the church, Colossians 1. I ain't going to read it. Verse 14 through 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn. Just reading this one verse. I'm not reading everything I was going to read. Firstborn of that all things might, that he might have preeminence. He wants preeminence in us. He wants submission. He wants to be first place. That's what headship is really about. We talk about headship in the natural, but it's just a type. It's just a shadow. We can mess that up. But the real headship comes with Christ in the church. Now, and Brother Branham said here in Christ the Mystery, I think that's probably, if you want to know about headship, read Christ the Mystery. You know, you got marriage and divorce, or marriages, you got who is this, Melchizedek, or Theophany. I think if you want to know about headship, read Christ is a Mystery, because he covered it in depth there. And to be sure that the whole rapture now, Luther was a part, Wesley was a part, the prophets was a part. If they aren't a part, just in the revelation that they were making up the body, the feet, the toes, the arms, and so forth, until the head, which we'll get to in a minute. See, that makes the entire rapture the body of the Word, which is Christ. Amen. Outside of that, you're lost. Outside of the headstone, the capstone, coming down to the body, you're lost. That leadership was so important to God that he wanted to make sure that we had that leadership again at the end time to bring the rapture on. It took headship to bring on the rapture. Okay, now, if we didn't have that, we couldn't even get up. Brother Brown said, he is the first fruit of the resurrection. Is that right? Congregation says amen. Watch. Then what is he? He is the head of the body, which is his church, bride. Uh-huh. Then the bride body must follow the head. She's got to. That's his order. Everything. Headship controls the body. Headship controls the church. Headship controls the home. Headship controls your salvation.
Amen.
You have nothing. Oh, my. I'm trying to rush here because I got to wrap this up. Then the bride body must follow the head, for it is a part of his resurrection, a part of the mystery. It's impossible for it not to go.
Right.
It's impossible. When you fall in line with headship, you can't help but to get it right. Wherever your head goes, the body goes. You can't miss it. My head's not going to go out the door, my body stay in the church. The body follows the head. The mind is in the head. It was so important that Christ the head had to come back at the end time to get us up, because there could be no resurrection of that body without the headship coming on the scene again. We had headship at one time. It's called Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. But that went in, and out come the body, the building of the church bride body. That body is useless without the capstone, headstone coming. Without headship, the body is useless. It's dead. Okay. Now, it's impossible for it not to go. Oh, my. It's part of God's mystery, how God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word. So he reveals his church and raising it up by the same word. He revealed himself to us, and then he raises us up by that same word. That's why it's faith in the word. Your headship is not faith in a person. It's faith in the word. Your wives are subject to your husband, not because that man is going to hit you, but because you have faith in the word of God that God will honor your office.
Amen.
Your faith is not in me, Nate Moore. Your faith is in the office that I hold. Do you realize when I sit down and Jeremiah gets up, your faith will adjust to Jeremiah because it's the office, not the man? That's what happened when Brother Children sat down. He said, I'll be an elder, and Brother Nate will call you Brother Moore, and you'll be the pastor. You know what he told me before it happened? Because I told him, he said, Brother Children, I don't feel like a pastor. I don't feel like I can do the job. On and on and on. I gave him all kind of excuses. He told me, he said, but when you step into that office, God will honor that office and give you everything you need to fulfill it. It's the office. It's the office. Not the man. When I get through, I'll sit down and Jeremiah will get up here and I'll honor the office. Yes.
Amen.
I'll come subject to the office.
Yes.
It's the office, not the man. Man will let you down. Man will disappoint you. Man will sell you out. Man will fall. Man will mess up. But the office won't. Office is never wrong. The office is never slacking. The office doesn't need anything. And anything the office needs, God supplies it. Do you know, I've been taught a lot of things over the last 20 years. And God supplied every bit of it.
Amen.
Everything I needed, Brother Childers, I got. Okay. As the head was took up from the grave, so must the body follow him back to Eden. Where the head of the family, the man, the bridegroom, the bride being the body of the bridegroom, must follow. Because that's the head. And the head is revealed and come back with eternal life. And the body must follow that because of the head, because it is husband and wife again. See, that's why God has this whole deal about the woman coming subject to the man and the headship and final voice and the lead and leadership and all that. He has all that not for you and me in our home. You know, God could care less whether you're married or not. I mean, honestly, he didn't care. He's not guaranteeing everybody that comes to Christ is going to get married and have a family, have kids. That's not what he's about. It's not worried about that. He's worried about Christ and the church. That marriage. That one you have to have. You don't have to get married here. You know, Paul said, I wish you'd be like I am. You know, so you don't have to get married here, but you do have to get married to Christ. All right. Now, listen to what. Oh, no, I'm not going to read that. It's Revelation 5. Don't turn there. I'm just going to tell you about it. Revelation 5 is where the seals were ripped off. Somebody had to come. The head had to come to the body. In Revelation chapter 5, the book was sealed with seven seals. The body was completely built, but there was no life to it. There was no capstone. There was no head. There was no headship there. And Jesus had to step forth off the mediator throne and take the book and rip the seals off and send those down here. Because what he sent down was those mysteries that were hidden from before the foundation world that nobody knew. We had to have that because that was the capstone coming down to the bride body. And without that capstone, there was no getting up out of the dead. Okay, the bride recognized no other headship. And the seals showed that. Brother Branham said here, and the body must follow the head as a wife follows the husband. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. Eve was deceived, and she was in transgression. Or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth in the day of Lord Jesus when he come from the grave. But he had to redeem her. That's why we didn't resurrect 2,000 years ago. There had to be a redemption process. Before the head could come to the body, there had to be a redemption process. Why? Because that was God's order. Simple enough. That's what God said. Yeah, and that's how it works. God says. God said. That's God's order. God said, I'm going to get a bride, but I'm going to have to redeem her for 2,000 years. Why? Because I said. Okay. Now you see the seals, Brother Brenham asked? See why those seals are important? Now you see the seals? When he was in a meteor work back there, redeeming, but someday he come forth to get the book, and then he'd redeem. And all that was in this book would be with him. For that's the believers. The word in the book, and the word is him. And all that's in that, he comes forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written in the book. Basically, we're the word. He come back for the word. And here he is today in his word, manifesting the same thing he did there. She cannot recognize any other headship. No other headship. No denomination, no creed, no dogmas, no men's thinking. She, the bride, will recognize no other headship. In his word, manifesting the same thing he did there. She can't recognize any other headship. No, sir. There's no bishop, no nothing. She recognizes one headship, that's Christ. And Christ is the Word.
Amen.
Oh, my, I love that. And the head was took up from the grave. As the head was took up from the grave, so must his body follow him into Eden. Therefore, the body cannot recognize any other headship but the headship of the Word. All that we've been talking about the last 50 years on headship. Brother Childers, the most important thing was the headship of the Word. People dubbed you a headship doctrine preacher. They called it all kind of names. They didn't like it, on and on and on. But all they was trying to do was get us to the headship of Christ. If you can get to the headship of Christ, then you will be okay. We will recognize no other headship. No other leader, no other doctor, no other nothing. We've run out of sevens, we've run out of threes, we've run out of everything. And now the mind has come to the body. Therefore, it's the Word or nothing, Brother Branham said. That's right. He the Word. How do you know it's right? He's the Word. It's vindicated, see? He the Word, properly vindicated, is the headship. You might think you're the headship, but if you're not properly vindicated, Amen. You're not the headship.
Right.
Everybody around the world thinks they're the headship,
right.
But they're not properly vindicated. Okay, he is the Word. He's vindicated, see? He the Word, properly vindicated, is the headship. The head of the church, he is the Word, the headship. He is properly identified, vindicated by his own spirit being in the church itself, the person showing forth himself in vindication is the direct proof to the entire body. You don't need creeds then. Denomination has perished. But the headship itself recognized in the body by personal identification, see, identifying himself proves the headship to the body. Then we are all united under one vindicated headship. That's Christ the Word. That's it. If you can recognize Christ the Word, there's your vindicated headship. All right. I think what I'm going to do here is read one little quote here, and then I'm going to close out. We have the answer to the devil's questions now. Oh, yes, we do now. How headship work? It's really balanced. Like you said, headship. We should want headship. We should want somebody to turn it over to. Oh, my. That's the devil's answer. So when you have a problem, and you turn it over, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to lose no more sleep. You don't have to wonder if it's right. You don't have to second guess yourself. And you say, well, what if I take the advice and I walk under the headship and then something goes wrong? Well, even if it goes wrong, it's right. Because God makes all things work together for my good. Why? Because I'm the vindicated headship. I'm the vindicated Son of God. I have faith in the Word. I have faith in the Word. That's something people can't say. I know where the Word is, and when the Word comes forth, I have faith in that. But I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Notice, being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. Amen. Glory. We have the answer to the devil's question. He, Christ, is risen and has paid the price. He's risen up from, the head or the body. The devil can't stand it. He cannot stand headship. That's the worst thing that ever struck him. The devil can't stand it. That's the reason these ecumenical kingdoms are setting up. The reason they're all coming up, doing what they're doing now. The devil, that's the reason he's howling the way he is. His wickedness has been, his scheme has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ in the headship over his body. Amen. We got the answers now. We're not sitting here trying to figure out how this thing works. We know how it works. We have the answers to it. Come on, musicians. We have the answers to the issues. Headship is plain before us. Where we used to run from headship, we should run to it. Where we used to skirt around it and think, oh, I don't know about that headship thing at that church. It's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Amen.
Headship is a doctrine that people don't want, because they don't want to submit themselves. And without submission, you won't grow an inch. Without submission, you won't move a muscle. You'll sit with your ideas and you won't grow an inch. I've seen them. They'll sit here and they'll have their own thinking, and they think their thinking's better or smarter than mine. And I'm sitting here laughing in their face saying, you don't understand. It's not about how smart you are. I'm the pastor. I'm the leadership here. This is the way God's ordained it. You say, I want it a different way. Talk to God.
Right.
This is what he wants. Headship in a home. I don't care how much Clarice wants to lead. When it comes to the home, I'm the headship to the home.
Right.
Say, who made you the head? God.
Right.
I didn't have nothing to do with it.
No.
I didn't ask him for it. It's a load. I have to worry about things. She don't know all the things I go through to try to make sure everything happens. It might run like a new car. There's a lot of things I keep working on under that hood. Those lights don't just come on. God makes it work. But it's great, because that's God's way. And we can't think of there's no better way. There's no better way. The thing we're running from, Brother Childers, let's run to.
Yes.
They've run from him from preaching headship over the years, and the very thing they ran from was the thing they needed to run to. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for your truth. Thank you for your word, Lord. I know it's right. I don't even doubt it. Lord, help me to submit myself, knowing that, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. That you've come to take us out of here, and I must submit myself to the head in order to go. It's a doctrine that, Lord, a lot of people don't like. They don't want. They don't believe. But I believe. It's helped me through many hard times. It's helped me when I didn't have answers, didn't know what to say. It's helped me when I was trying to do it wrong, and God came and corrected me, and I was able to humble myself before you and say, Lord, I'm wrong, and you're right. Thank you for this truth, because it helps our homes. It helps our church. It helps us in our very life, Lord, knowing that you're the sole realm and that you have the final say-so in anything that happens with our lives. God, help us to submit on the natural. Help us to submit on the spiritual. It's much easier when we let you have it. You know what you're doing. We don't. You're a mighty God. And we serve you because we love you. I'm not afraid of your headship. I'm appreciative of giving it to you and let you work out the details. How I'm getting to heaven, Lord, I don't even have to worry about. You're working it out. Body change, you're working it out. I just believe you. Help us to continue to grow in your knowledge. Help us to balance it in our lives so that we can be real Christians. That, Lord, those that are looking at us can see an example of you and have confidence and lean that way to the word that's in us. Thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Page 66. Come back tonight expecting. Yes, Seth.
I just wanted to give a testimony because I'm the very, I'm a witness to everything that you said today and how that has applied to my life. And it's, I know that it's God that's talking to me, but I've lived it. I've lived both sides of that coin, you know, and I lived where I didn't want to listen, and I am educated, and I came from a strong mom that taught me to stand up for things, which, you know, that can be good as well, but
right.
I love this other part.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and Doug and I, as soon as, I mean, it's been a long time ago, but when he's in control, everything goes so much smoother than when I'm in control. So why wouldn't I want God's answer on it, the right answer?
Right.
Why would I want to try to mix everything up? And I'm just thankful that that's my life now. That, you know, and you talked about it's not really important about being married and all that other stuff, but it makes my life go so smooth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm just thankful that that's what God gave me. But, I have one other thing I wanted to say. What matters, though, you were talking about how we're going to get out of here, you know, and that's where that headship, whether, and it's going to come from the preacher, and I'm imagining you're going to be leading us, so even if it's Jeremiah that tells us that secret to get out of here,
right.
We have to be able to take whoever is saying that to us, and I'm just thankful that I'm here, that,
Amen.
You know, that I listen, and
Amen.
That I do believe what you guys tell me, and, I was also thinking this morning, I came in, I've been absent a couple of times. You know, just things came up. Doug's been out of town, and so I had some other things that I was doing, and I stayed home. And when I came back this morning, I thought about how if I did that before, I would feel so condemned with myself. Like, oh, no. You know, like Brother John talked about that shame that we had. I can't testify. I've been bad.
Right.
No, it's all good.
Amen.
I'm still good. I still believe it, whether I'm here or not.
That's
and
right.
I'm still going about and doing what God wants
Amen.
Me to do.
Amen. Amen. That's all right. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, I thought I heard somebody call my name. Okay. A little toughy, I guess. What a mighty God.